A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener, wherever you find yourself in these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful countries of ours, the land of the brave. It's a Wednesday morning, the 7th of January. So we're already in the new year. So still a new year, still in the new year. So good morning to you. And how are you? I just started yesterday. So maybe you were not, you know, you haven't tuned in yesterday. So good morning and welcome. Where are you? Are you still the lucky one that are still on the holiday? You know, or are you, have you started already working? So good morning to you and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Thank you, David, for, you know, crossing over that mic to this side of the world. We're coming to you live and direct from the Ondangwa studio. And welcome. So my name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, finance, economic, and of course politics. Every week we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and sometimes a little witty and always curious. Always curious, asking the question that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome to the new year. Hopefully, as I said, I'm not someone who believe in resolution. I mean, new year resolutions. So I have everyday resolutions. So every day I have a plan of what to do, when to do, and, you know, this is how it builds up. You know, what you want to achieve in the year. So, all right. So what are your resolution? If you believe in that, so hopefully you strategize and make sure that you this time you make sure that you achieve what you want to achieve. So, but we have a major, 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 major task, you know, ahead of us. We have a duty called Namibia. Each one of us, we have a duty called Namibia. So, this is a place we all live in, and we want to make it a better place. Wherever you find yourself, whatever you do, whatever your career is, or whatever your work is. So let's make a difference. Let's make a difference that we want in the world, difference that we want in our country. If we don't want, you know, our, other person in our, maybe leaders or whoever, if we don't want them to be corrupt, so don't be corrupt yourself in the small things that you do in your workplace, you know, or wherever you find yourself. Don't be corrupt yourself. If you want, you know, a better service, if you want a really good service, quality service, provide that yourself. It has to start with you. I don't know what advertisement that it said, it starts with you. So whatever you want in the world, the better world that you want, it starts with you. And if we want a better Namibia, doesn't matter in what area, whether in terms of, you know, development, or one of the best countries in the world to, you know, for tourism, whatever sector we're talking about. So that's where you are. And it starts with you. So as usual, talking about starting, we normally start, with our first segment that looking on this day in Africa. Today is the 7th of January, 2026, the segment where now this is the segment where we journey, back in time to remember the moments that shape our continent. So today we're looking at, January the 7th, a date that has shaped nations in Africa, remembered leaders, and also celebrated unique traditions across the continent. So let's start in Ghana, we are looking at on this day in Africa. So let's start in Ghana, where this day is incredibly important for its democracy. So back in 1957, back in 1957, shortly after gaining independence, Ghana became the very first African nation to join the United Nations on this day. So it was a huge step for the continent, actually, on the world stage. But the story of Ghana on January the 7th doesn't stop there. Fast forward to 1993. This is the day Ghana's fourth republic began. You know, Jerry Lawrence was sworn in as a president, marking the start of the democratic system the country uses today. So the country, the democratic system the country uses today started with Jerry Rawlings. So now then, and then exactly 8 years later, you know, in 2001, something remarkable happened. John Kufuor was inaugurated as the new president. And this was Ghana's first ever peaceful transfer of power from one elected leaders to another, something that we do in Namibia. All right. So that was the first ever peaceful transfer of the power from one elected leader to another. So, and it was a massive, massive deal, a sign that democracy was truly, taking root. So that's Ghana. So now let's turn our attention to the Democratic Republic of Congo. January 7th for Congo hold a very, how would I put it, a sober memories there. So it really hold a sober memories. On this day in 1961, the country first democratic elected prime minister, Patrice Lumumba, was captured and later was killed. So his death became a powerful symbol of the struggle against foreign interference in Africa. So tragically, history repeated itself on the very same day in 2001. Do you know what happened? You know, that's when President Laurent Désiré Kabila was assassinated in the capital, Kinshasa. So, and his death, of course, threw the country into political turmoil and showing the long and difficult journey the DRC has actually faced. So, But January the 7th is not just about politics and struggle, okay? It's also a day of unique celebration. While many of us celebrated Christmas in December, millions of people in Ethiopia and Eritrea are just actually getting started. They're just getting ready. So for them today, you know, today is Christmas, known as Gena. A day filled with, you know, colorful church processions, you know, traditional games, and wonderful feast. So, and it's also, okay, and this day is also a Christmas for Coptic Christians, in Egypt. So it is such an important day that back in 2003 in Egypt, the Egyptian government made it a national holiday for everyone actually to celebrate. So, and then today we also remember a powerful symbol of freedom, I must say, you know, only which also somehow, yeah, we also have alliance to that. So on January 7th in 1997, the South African government officially turned Robben Island into a national museum. You know, for years it was the prison that held Nelson Mandela and many others, including our very own Toivo ya Toivo and others. A symbol. It has for many years it had been like a symbol of oppression. Okay, now it stands as a museum to honor their struggle for freedom. And that was from on January 7th, 1997. So, and also, like lastly, we also celebrate a birthday, one of the Kenya's most influential political figures, Prime Minister Raila Odinga, was born this day in 1945. He has been a central figure in Kenyan politics for decades, serving as a prime minister and shaping the nation's path, really, to democracy. So, and that's your journey. That's your journey through history for today, on this day in Africa. So, welcome if you're just joining us. Good morning to you. And this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And I'm Michael Shavedi. So our thought for the day, Wednesday, January the 7th. So I hope this doesn't reflect you. So the thought for the day today is a lazy man is always eager to do something tomorrow. So a lazy man is always eager to do something tomorrow. Hope this is not you. All right. Now, the Proverbs highlight the self-deception involved in procrastination. Okay. The lazy man tells himself, I'm not avoiding this. You see, that's how you actually tell, I'm not avoiding this. I'm just going to do it tomorrow when I'm more ready, when I'm more energetic, when I'm more motivated. So that's what he tells himself. So, and this proverb perfectly capture the huge gap between intending to do something and, of course, actually doing it. So many people have, for example, if you give an example for maybe of a business, so have the goal to start a business. Many people have a goal to start a business, learn a new skill maybe, or I know somebody who want to clean the garage, keep saying I'm doing tomorrow, clean the garage. So the lazy man is distinguished by his constant eagerness to start that journey tomorrow, a day that actually never comes. If tomorrow never comes, okay? The day that never comes, actually. Tomorrow never comes because tomorrow becomes today. Tomorrow never comes. Now, so the problem is warning that intention are meaningless without action. So it teaches us that the true measures of commitment is not how eager you are. Eh? It's not how eager you are to do something in the future, but what you are willing to do or what you are willing to start right now. So hopefully decision that you're making and choices that you make show your willingness, you're motivated to start right now, not tomorrow. So thanks for joining us. Our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of 8. This is Unpacking the Day. We go until 10 o'clock when we'll be handing over to Windhoek again with a program with Tate France Kuthamosha. So, welcome. We're still at the beginning of the year. You're probably also just finding your way at work. You know, you haven't really settled yet. You're still actually, you know, greeting the who and who and asking question, where were you? And, you know, what did you do? And all that, having those conversation. I know work is going to start really, really maybe in 2 weeks' time. So for now, but what I'm prodding you, please start working. All right. Start working. So we have a country to, you know, to build, country to develop, you know, country to, you know. So, and that brings us to what we're going to talk today. So what we're going to look at, we're going to look at the key economic factors and development to watch for that you can watch for in Namibia in 2026, according to the Bank of Namibia's report. And if we have time, we're also going to look at the Botswana's golden passport. You see, that's something that maybe we could actually learn, maybe something that maybe I should learn from and go into that a little bit and see if that is something, if there's a lesson that maybe I can take. So, And then, of course, this is your platform. Your participation will also be part of the show. So you're most welcome. So, and also today when you come through, tell us what are you hoping for? So for Namibia, what are you hoping for Namibia this year? What changes you're looking for? What are the changes that you want for this year? What are the pressing issues that you think Namibia should, you know? And I'm not talking about the president or whatever. I'm just talking as a Namibian. What is that we need to address to change the situation, whatever situation we found ourselves in? And so today we're going to look at some economic factors and developments to watch for in Namibia. So in Namibia in 2026. So, all right. And you're most welcome. You're also most welcome to come through. And I said, the first thing I want is also tell me how was your, you could be possibly still on holiday. So how are you? And definitely, you know, what is your hope for? What is your hope for Namibia? Where are we going? How far? Now we have, you know, we have a little bit ample, we have ample sample of data, if you like, to actually evaluate what we have done so far as a country. Not, I'm just talking for this new, from this new government as well. And it's not new anymore. So, and looking at how we have been doing things, how we have been doing things as a country, and what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for this year? And maybe, you know, what changes do you want to see, and where do you want to see Namibia? So that's also what I want you to come through and just, you know, share your hope. And of course, the topic that we gonna cover as we go on. So stay tuned. We're gonna be back in a second.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma odaraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oliaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia, and a warm welcome. Warm welcome to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. And my name is Mike Oshoveli. They call me the Big Mike, you know. So now, the new year is still fresh. We're still in the new year, full of promises in many ways. In our own lives, you know, we're still actually looking at what are the opportunities. There's so many things that we, you know, we're looking forward to. And if you have been also reading the news, or maybe you're completely cut off, like, okay, you're completely cut off. I don't want to, you know, listen to the news. I don't want to read the news, you know. So that's why we're here for. That's why we are here for, to help you. You know, just tune on. Tune on Eagle FM. And, you know, one thing. As I have been saying before, you go for holidays, that time I said, make sure that you download the Eagle FM app so that wherever you find yourself, it happened to me. I was outside of the country and, you know, I continually to listen to some of the, you know, amazing programs that we were running through the festive period. So make sure that you do that. Download the Eagle FM app now as we speak. You know, so that you on the go, you have Eagle FM with you wherever you go. So make sure that you're connected. So by downloading the EagleFM. So as I said, so if you have been, you know, looking at the news and all that and reading the news, you know, full of some pretty big changes coming our way. Okay. So there's a talk of a new way to invest. We're going to talk about that. New ways to pay for your, to pay for things. So I'm just putting that in a very, very simple way. And even changes to how our banks lend us money, you know? So how our banks will lend us money. And that's what we are going to dive into, this morning. So what is coming in 2026 this year? We're talking about retail bonds. We're going to talk about retail bonds, instant payments. Something that excites me, okay? Instant payment, that's actually something that actually excites me. New banking rules, and some, you know, economic growth projections. So we're going to look at what are those economic growth projections. So this, well, sometimes when we look, these are not just, and I have to say it here from the very beginning, you know, and until I become, until I get this program where I'm asked, you know, and to analyze, you know, some of these events or articles or news or something like that. I think I was like that. Maybe I wouldn't even pick it up certain things that I'm going to discuss with you. You read it and you just, you know, it looks like these aren't, what I wanted to say is that these are not just policy on paper. You know, these are not just policy on paper. Yeah. These are not just policy on paper. These are changes. I can tell you this. These are changes that affect whether you can afford the loaf of bread next month, you know. That's how it is. It's a policy that affects whether you can afford the loaf of bread next month, whether your small business survives, and whether your children will have a better opportunity than you did, maybe. So, it is something that this program and many other programs from here, that what we want to create, and especially here, I want us, you and I want us to create that consciousness. You know, economic consciousness, finance consciousness, political consciousness, you know, about Namibia. We want to raise that consciousness. This is the whole idea, to raise that consciousness. That's actually my whole aim and purpose, raise the consciousness. When I ask a question, when we ask a question, when you analyze something and bring in a different angle to maybe what is reported in the paper and question certain things, is to raise this consciousness for you to start think, for you to start participating, for you to start to see, you know, what are we doing? You know those levels where you, we talk this in terms of, when you're counseling somebody, there comes where the person might not even know, you know, that you are in that problem. You understand? A person might not even know that they have a problem. So what do? You raise their, you know, you create that awareness for them to understand, oh, so I am actually in this position. So I'm actually in this. You raise awareness in them to understand in position in a problems they are. So this is exactly what we do. We are a watchdog, you know. We are media. We are watchdog, and we are trying. What we do, what we're trying to do, is to raise that. As I said, much of this to raise this consciousness. So what do you do? Grab a tea. Grab your tea, and don't put something in your tea. You know, Nkoroko Cafe. Do you know that story of Nkoroko Cafe? You know, I'll tell you one day. So don't be like someone. Yeah, yesterday I spoke to someone, and he thinks, well, it's not drinking just tea, probably just, you know, put something in a tea. Yeah, no. So grab your tea, settle in, and let's unpack this together. So let's unpack this definitely together. Now, Let me paint a picture for you. Okay, let's paint a picture of where Namibia stands right now. And this is according to this report as well. So our economy is expected to grow by 3.8% this year. Okay, 3.8% this year. And that's up from 3% last year. 3.8 from up from 3% last year. Now, before you switching off, okay, you better start it now when we're talking about percentage. Before you start actually swinging off a tangent or changing that frequency, and just say and thinking, that's just number. Okay, think about it this way. Okay, I want you to think about this. Economic growth means more jobs. It means more business opportunities. It means more money circulating in our communities. Okay, but growth alone, it doesn't tell the whole story, doesn't, you know, it does. Yeah. So the growth alone, it doesn't tell the whole story. So now the Bank of Namibia, our central bank, the institution that essentially, control the money, flowing through our economy. I feel it's getting hot here. It's a time to take off the clothes. You know, the song. I'm singing the song. It's getting hot here. All right. So, okay. Now, so it's rolling out the Bank of Namibia is rolling out a series of changes this year. Okay. And that's what we're looking at. So, and these changes, they are not small tweaks. Eh? They're really not small tweaks. They are fundamental shift, if you like, in how ordinary Namibian will interact with money, how you will interact with money, how you will do your saving, and also how do you interact with financial systems. So they are very, 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 yeah, they are very fundamental shift. Now, and let's be frank here. For decades, our financial system has been built for those who already have money. But that's a fact. You know, if you are a vendor in Katutura, a taxi driver in Oshakati, for example, or a pensioner in Kidmanshop, the banking system hasn't exactly been your friend. Hasn't been exactly your friend. So higher minimums, complicated processes, you know, and product design. Products are designed really for people with disposable income. So in 2026, in 2026, it might be different. So it might be different. The question we need then to ask is, will these changes actually reach the people who need them most? Will reach the people who need most, or will they remain theoretical? Will they remain actually a theoretical victories that's just good on paper? Will they remain that? So, and that's what we're going to look at when we come back from this short break.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No. Yeah, that's true. IMBA, that's where the world congregates. That's exactly where the world congregates. Make sure that you have that product as well. You have that app. It's come in handy. I can attest to that. I used it almost every weekend, or, you know, when you go to church, when you go to funeral, when you go. So it's really come in handy. It's a very, 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 good app to have, it's the world congregate right in your hands, right there in your hands. You have all the hymnal from different congregation, different faith. So make sure that you download that. Now, let's start with the first major upgrade. The first major upgrade, something the Bank of Namibia is calling a retail bond. Okay? A retail bond. So, I need you to understand what this really means. It is very important. This idea, the idea behind this is beautifully simple. It's very beautifully simple. Imagine you have some spare cash. Okay? Hardly so. But just imagine. Imagine you have some spare cash, maybe $1,000 or maybe $2,000, and you want it to grow safely. Okay? You want it to grow safely, not just sit in a saving account earning pennies. It doesn't earn much really. So maybe you want it, you know, growing, as I said, you want it growing safely. Now, for years, the option to invest directly in the country by buying government debt was reserved for only for the wealth, only for those who have money. Now, you needed at least, for example, you needed at least 10,000, sometimes even 50,000, just to get a seat on the table, just to get a seat on that table. So you needed a little bit of about 10,000 and so on. Now, well, with that amount of money, it shut out so many hardworking Namibians. Okay, it really shut out so many hardworking Namibians. Now, let's also be honest. How many Namibians have $50,000 sitting around? Yeah, how many have even 10,000? They can afford to lock away. Yeah, it's very few. It's very 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 few. Now, well, now the Bank of Namibia is finally changing the rules. Okay, they are now changing the rules. They are saying, hey, this is your country. This is your country. You should be able to invest in it. All right? This is your country. You must be able to invest in it. Now, this new retail bond will allow people now with much smaller amount of money to lend money to the government. So that's what this retail bond is about. It's now allowing people with low income, small amount of money, you know, now to lend money to the government. So now in return, now what is this about? In return, the government pay you back with interest over time, you know. And think of a teacher. Think of a teacher in Oshakati, okay, or in Ongwediva, or in where I'm here in Ondangwa. All right. So every month, she diligently put aside a little money for her children's future. With a retail bond, you know, she can invest that money and of course, the other thing is that, you know, it's backed by the full strength of the Namibian government. So as compared to the bank. So you have that kind of a guarantee or safety, if you like. So she can look at a new... And the other way, you can also look at this in a different. You can also look at this in a different way, okay? Maybe a different perspective. Now you can look, maybe a new road is built in your area or a new school opening, and you can be able to say, my money, or even if you pay tax, you know. Now you can say the money that you lend to the government, because you lend the government money, my money have, you know, helped make that happen. You can proudly now looking at say, my money helped that happen. And that's actually powerful. It is powerful. It connects our personal saving to our national development. Looking at that way, looking at that perspective, it connects our personal saving, you know, to our national development, which is the very heart of our Vision 2030 plan. So it is a very, 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 very powerful idea when you're looking at that from that perspective. And it sounds great, right? Now, so it's about, you know, last year we're talking about financial inclusion. There was a summit here on financial inclusion. So when you look at this, it's more about financial inclusion. It's more about democratizing investment. Okay. And of course, giving ordinary Namibian a seat at the table. So that's basically what financial inclusion is all about. Okay. But this is Unpacking the Day. And of course, let's, you know, we analyze. All right. So we don't just, you know, take the press release and then, you know, say and then just communicate it to you. No, we go a little bit deeper. But let's pause and ask some hard questions. So my first question is really, now who actually, and you can look at it a different way. I talk the benefits and all that. So I talk, you know, who actually benefited from this? So now when the bank started to, okay, this is the idea that we need to implement. Who actually benefit from this? You can look at it from different way. You might be a banking person. You might be economist. You might be a politician. You might be a student. You might be whoever. So you may have a different perspective. Think about it. If you are, I'm looking at it from a human, you know, so from a humanitarian point perspective. If you are earning, now let's say for example, if you are earning $15,000, $15,000 a month, supporting a family, paying rent, buying grocery, keeping the lights on, you know, do you have $1,000 to invest? Can you afford to lock that money away for months or years when you might need it for an emergency? I just wanted to look at different where we are as a country, how we spend money, you know, and our salary hasn't moved for years. Many people's salary haven't changed for centuries, you know. Now, the reality is that even with low minimums, you know, investment products requires disposable income. It requires a disposable income. And in a country where unemployment hovers around 30% or so, where many people live in paycheck to paycheck, that is how people live. They live from paycheck to paycheck. The question becomes, and this is a very important one. So the question becomes, are we creating opportunities for people who can't actually use them? It's like this. I can give you, there was an example, a simple one is of electricity. Let's say, for example, we want to electrify rural areas. So, and then you bring electricity in the rural area, but the electricity is expensive. So you bring the service, but people can't afford it. Do you understand? So that's the question. Are we creating opportunities for people who can't actually use them? So that's something to think about. The second question is, what is in it for the government? Is there something in it for the government? And let us not be naive here. So when the government issues bonds, it's borrowing money. So it is borrowing money. All right. Now it need to finance project. You know, it need to pay salaries, need to fund services. And traditionally, it is borrowed from, you know, we borrowed, it's borrowed from big institutions. Okay. It's borrowed from big institution, institution of investors, you know, banks, you know, international lenders. So traditionally we borrowed from this kind of institutional investors, and banks and international lenders. So now it is actually turning to ordinary citizens. That's turning to ordinary citizens. It's a great idea. You know, that's a great idea. So on one hand, as I said, it's a great idea because on one hand, this keeps money circulating within Namibia. And you are part of that national development. You are being borrowed. The government is borrowing money for you to actually, you know, do, you know, finance projects, pay salaries or whatever the case may be. All right. So, and as we often seen, it reduces dependence on foreign debt. It does reduce for, you know, so, and potentially give citizen a stake. It give you a citizen. It's given a citizen a stake in a national development. So it give you direct, kind of give you a direct stake in a national development. I think that it's an idea that I think it's a, as I said, it's powerful. When I feel that I kind of feel I'm directly, when a road is built, when a school is built, I'm directly, because the government borrows money from me, I'm directly actually participating in national development. I think that's I feel citizen taking it gives citizen a stake in a national development, as I said. Now, but on the other hand, we are, so, well, depending on how you're looking at it. So we are asking people who can barely afford to save to essentially fund government operations. Is this responsible financial policy? You know, is it shifting the burden of public financing into those least able to bear it? Well, think about it. So, yeah, so that's another angle you can look at. But maybe the other question I can ask, and before we can move to another thing, is that where is the financial literacy component? All right. So, you know, bonds are not saving accounts. They're not like my saving account. They have 10-year periods. They have interest rates. They have mature dates. Maybe the most important things, they are also risks. So if the government defaults, okay, maybe unlikely to work if, well, the government is unlikely to, you know, it's unlikely, but not possible. I think, the government would probably default. Unlikely, but not impossible. Okay, let's put it that way. So let's say if the government defaults, you lose your investment. Yeah? So are we preparing Namibian to understand this product now? Are we preparing them to understand? Well, that's what we're trying to do here. Are we educating people about the risk, diversifications, and long-term financial planning? So are we educating people in terms of that? I think that's one thing that you're looking at that. Or are we just opening a new market without ensuring people can navigate it safely? That's a lot of illiteracy, especially when it comes to financing. A lot. So, as I said, are we just opening a new market, which is actually good, without ensuring that people can navigate it safely? Can we navigate it safely? So I'm not saying, okay, get me right, I'm not saying the bonds are bad, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to look beyond the glossy, you know, press releases and ask, who really being served here? Okay? Who is really being served here? And what safeguard are in place? Who is being served and what are what safeguard are in place? So that's the question. Okay? And that's the way to look at it. Now, let's talk about the inflations. Okay? So, because that also comes up. So what you and I, so let's talk about inflations. So what you and I feel in our pocket. So what you feel every day in your pocket, you know, it's not GDP growth. Okay? It's not GDP growth. What you feel in your pocket is not GDP growth. So what you feel is the price of fuel. You feel the prices of mealy meals. You feel the price of the bills of electricity. That's, you feel in your pocket. That is inflation. That is inflation. And the Bank of Namibia projects inflation will creep up slightly to 3.8 this year. up slightly from 3.6% last year. All right. Now, that might sound like small number, okay? That might sound like a small number, but it means your hard-earned money, buys a little less with every trip to the shop, you know? So 3.8, so that's what it means. From when you said, okay, we moved from 3.6 to 3.8, yes, it makes a huge, huge difference. Okay? It makes, you might think, 0.2%? That's nothing. But it means your hard-earned money buys a little less with every trip, as I said, you know, to the shop. Now, someone told me that, and this is a good one. I think it was last year or before that. Someone told me that when we talk about inflation at one point, and you mentioned that never something, and that gave me a really good picture of what inflation is all about. Someone told me that, and I'm talking in terms of when you think now, that's nothing. When you think that 2%, 2%, 0.2%, that's nothing. So he said that, you know, inflation is like a termites. A termites eating your house. You know, you don't notice it day by day. Day by day, you don't notice it. But over time, it destroys your purchasing power. And that make a hell of sense. So that's inflation. Now let me break this down with a real example. Okay. Now say you earn $20,000 a month. Now think of your 3.8% inflation. Okay, your 3.8% inflation in 1 year. So your $20,000 will only buy what? 19,240 bought today. Do you understand? Well, you didn't get poorer in your, what do they say, in nominal terms, you didn't get poorer. You are still earning actually 20,000, but everything got more expensive. So you understand? Now, the Bank of Namibia say inflation will be, there's something the Bank of Namibia said. It said inflation will be controlled by a stronger exchange rate and favorable oil price. So that's what the Bank of Namibia said. It says it will be controlled by the stronger exchange rate and favorable oil prices. Now, but let's look at these two things. Because you're saying it's going to be controlled by a stronger exchange rate and favorable, you know, oil price. I think it's a projection in my mind and in your mind. But let's dig deeper on these two aspects. Okay? Let's really can you stand on it? That's what I'm trying to say. Can you stand on it? Let's first look at exchange rate. Okay. Well, according to my understanding, our Namibian dollar is pegged 1-to-1 with South African rand. So when they say stronger exchange rate, they are really talking about the rand's performance against other currencies like the US dollar or the euro. That's exactly what they're talking about. So, but we don't control the rand. We don't control the rent, you know, the South African rent. South African does. So we are essentially riding their, you know, coattails, if you want. So hoping their monetary policy decision benefit us. We're hoping that their monetary policy, whatever decision they made, benefit us too. That's the reality of being in the, what is this? How do you call this? Being in the, what is the word? The common monetary area with South Africa, Lesotho and Eswatini, because we are in that common monetary area with South Africa and Lesotho and Eswatini. So We are, as I said, we are hoping that the monetary policy South Africa does, that South African decision make, benefit us too. We're just hoping. Now, does that make you uncomfortable? It does make me uncomfortable. And it should make you uncomfortable. And if you're a lawmaker, it should make you uncomfortable. And it should make you thinking. Yeah? Because it means a significant portion of our economy, a significant portion of our economy stability actually depend on decision made in Pretoria, not in Windhoek. And that's concerning. That's concerning for me. That's really concerning. And it should be concerning for you as well. So the other thing that the bank says that, what is that? That Namibia, we're relying, you know, the inflation will be controlled by, we looked at the strong exchange rate and also favorable oil prices. I'm not an economist, but, well, I did finance. Have a diploma in finance from the Western University of Western Cape. Now, oil prices. I'm just mentioning that now to say, from when you say, when the bank just say that. Now, first of all, oil prices. This also, as we have seen, this economic stability doesn't depend on the decision that we are making. As we looked at now, exchange rate, it depends on a decision made somewhere else, made in Pretoria rather than in Windhoek. Yes, global oil prices affect inflation because fuel costs impact everything. It impacts everything. Transportation, manufacturing, food distribution. So the lower prices, the lower oil prices theoretically means lower costs across the board. Yes, we understand that. So, but let's remember, okay? Let's remember, we don't produce oil domestically in meaningful quantities. We're still exploring so far. So we import fuel. So we are subject to global market fluctuations. We are subject to to geopolitical tensions. And we are subject to OPEC decision in terms when it comes to oil. And here's another uncomfortable truth. All right. Climate change is making the weather patterns more unpredictable as well. So drought affects agriculture, which affects food prices. So which drives inflation regardless of what oil does. Flood damage infrastructure increases cost. So we can't predict these variables. We cannot predict this variable with spreadsheet. You understand? This is the point. This is the consciousness that I'm talking about. Okay? We can't predict this variable with spreadsheet. So, now, who feels the inflation cost when you're talking about that? I think maybe the third question is who feels the inflation most? Of course, not the wealthy. Eh? Who feel the wealthy? You are the one who feel the inflation. You are earning 200,000. Let's say, for example, if you are earning $200,000 a month, a 3.8% of inflation increase, a 3.8% increase in prices, we're talking now in prices. Well, it's annoying. It's annoying, but manageable. So if you are earning $200,000 a month, it's annoying. If we're talking about that 3.8% increases in prices, well, that can annoy you, but it's manageable. But if you're earning $5,000 a month, $5,000 a month, inflation is devastating. Inflation is devastating. You are choosing between meat and vegetable. When you're in the shop,
So you're not taking meat and vegetable. You're choosing between should we take meat or vegetables? So you're choosing between those. And you're also walking instead of taking a taxi. So that's how devastating inflation would be. You know, if you're earning 5,000. So you are cutting back on children's supply, school supply, for example, as we are preparing for schools. So inflation is regressive. It hurts those, especially those are at the bottom, you know. It hurt those at the bottom the hardest. So when our central bank calmly announces a 3.8% inflation, you know, so we need to translate that, as I said, in human terms. As I said at the beginning, I'm not a economic and a politician and look at difference. So we need to translate that into human terms. That's what we're trying to do here. Families going hungry, business are closing, you know, dreams deferred. So that's what it means. All right. So our time is about 57 minutes past the hour of 8. I also allow you to come through. There are a lot of things that we're going through. We're going to focus on this. So if there is something that you want to contribute to, please do so. This is your plus. I'm also open up my line. You're most welcome. So I miss you. You know, I miss your contribution. I miss your input. So please do come through if you're listening, and which I believe you are. So yeah, do come through as well. 08333-66091 or 08333-66091. We're coming through. We're coming to you from Ondangwa Studio. So do please come through and have your reaction and your contribution on what we're discussing. 08333-66091. Okay? I'm waiting for you to come through on some of the things that we discussed so far. So you can come through anytime, and I will be continue with the rest of the things that we need to look at to look for in 2026. So when we come back, we're looking at the instant payment system, something I'm excited about. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning, Namibia, and welcome. Our time is about 1 minute and few seconds. Let me say, it's 9 o'clock, OptiCop. All right, it's 9 o'clock, and you are tuned. If you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day. And we go until the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Marco Chiavelli. So we're looking at now. So the one thing that, like, okay, now let's shift gears to how now we spent to let's talk about something, as I said earlier on, that actually excites me. Okay, this is something that really excites me. The instant payment system, which is actually set to launch, it's going to be launched according to the best as the Bank of Namibia, set to launch in late 2026. So it's going to be launched this year. All right. Now, this is another one of those, you know, people nowadays, they say, we talk about game changers, you know? So this is also, I think this is one of those game changers, you know? We live in a I want it now world, you know? We live in a world, I want it now. And that includes our money. So I want it now. So right now, sending money can be really a hassle. It can be a hassle. You might use, a mobile money app, or you might have to brave, you know, to brave the queues at the bank, if you have heart for it. And it can take time, and it can cost money as well. Remember that it can cost money as well. So when you are queuing up, you know, when you go to the bank from, any service that, you know, that require you paying or whatever, and it takes you about 2 or 3 hours being in the queue. You understand? It takes up time. And that costs money as well, because you could be 3 hours, you could be finishing something that you, you know, could be putting out there. So now this new system promised to make, you know, sending and receiving money instant, you know, and crucially accessible now. And that's the most important thing, accessible to everyone. Yeah, accessible to everyone. And I mean everyone. Now, even those with Okatoshe, the plan is for it to work on any mobile phone, including your Okatoshe, if you are listening. Okay? Your Kamagotchi, you know, even on your Kamagotchi, that's, you know, Kamagotchi or Kamagotchi, I don't know. So it would work. Not just the latest, you know, smartphone model, like one of my colleagues who have an iPhone. I'm talking colleague from this side, not that side. So the latest iPhone. So not only with them. I hope she's not listening to me. All right. So even on your Kamagotchi or your Katoshe, you know, it will work. It's accessible to everyone. Now, so think about this. Picture this, okay? A text driver in Katutura or anywhere can now accept payment from a passenger with a simple tap on his basic phone. No more fumbling for cash, you know? Or think of a vendor at open market. You know, it could be in Ondangwa here, it could be somewhere in Koriangava, you know, can sell her vegetables and receive a digital payment instantly, you know, making her business a safer and more efficient. Eh? That's why I said this could be a game changer. Or a grandma, or a grandmother, or a grandpa. We're always looking, you know, a grandpa in the village in Kavango East. Could be anywhere, you know. Can receive money from their children working in Windhoek, you know, in a second. Now, without paying higher fees and all that. So this system is designed, you know, to pull millions of Namibians, you know, especially those in the informal economy. Now, informal economy now right into the digital age, you know. They're pulling them down right into the digital. Think about how you pay for this, for things now. Okay. Now you had, you hand over cash. You waited for change. You worry about carrying large amount. You deal with dirty notes. Yeah. That's an issue as well. Vendor worry about theft. Business struggle with reconciliation, you know, or you use a bank card. You guys, now we use a bank card if you have one. That's if you have one, you know. So if the vendor has a machine, if the network is working, there are so many things. Well, that would probably work with the network as well. If there are no transaction fees eating into a really thin margin already. So there's so much, you know, when you're looking at how we do, how we spend, how we transact, you know, how do we do transaction already? So an instant payment system changes all of that. Okay? It changes all of that. You are buying tomatoes from a vendor in the market. You scan a code, enter the amount, and instantly the money moves from your account to hers. No cash, no delays, no intermediaries, you know, taking a cut. You know those intermediaries who comes always in the middle to take a cut? None of that. Eh? None of that. So what do you think about that? That's a revolution. Sound simple? So that's a revolution. And it also has some profound implications as well. In a positive way, well, one can also look at the negative one. So, like financial inclusion, we're talking about financial inclusion. Right now, millions of Namibians operate in a cash economy, if it's something like that, you know? Cash economy. They don't have a bank account, credit histories. They don't have credit histories or access to formal financial services because of that. So because of that cash economy, now an instant payment system that works on a basic phone, just on a basic phone, not just a smartphone, on your Kamagotchi and your Katoshe, you know, bring them into a digital economy. You know, from a cash economy to a digital economy. That's a revolution. So, and once you are in the digital economy, you become visible. Eh? You become visible. You can access credit. Hopefully. So that's, yeah. So you can access credit. Yes. You are visible. Eh? You can build a transaction history. You know, bank can look at that and you can grow your business as well. You can grow your business as well. So, now, the other thing also, the other profound implication in a positive way is also efficiency. Okay? We always hear this statement, time is money, money is time. Time is money? Which one comes first? Time is money, money is time? No, time is money. All right? So, every minute a business owner spend handling cash, you understand? Traveling to the bank or reconciling account, it's time not spent growing your business. You see? That's why I said this will be revolutionary. Instant payment, streamline everything. It streamlined everything. So it's one thing that I said. That's going to excite me. And I think it's going to excite of many people as well. So, and for the government too. And I hope for the government too. Paying salaries, distributing social grant, you know, it shouldn't become a really tedious way that we see it at this point in time. Imagine distributing social grants, you know, even collecting taxes, you know, the process that we go through all become faster and more transparent. Yeah. And more talking about transparent, it can also reduce corruption. And I think it can also reduce corruption and theft. Yeah. You know, when you have cash is anonymous. Eh? Cash is anonymous. You understand? You know where it come from. You don't know where it come from. Cash is anonymous. Digital transaction leave a tail. Not a tail. What is the word? Trail, you know? Oh, my God. It's a beginning, guys. You know? All right. So it doesn't leave a tail. It leaves a trail, you know? You know, digital transaction leave a trail. Okay? So this is not just about, you know, it's not just about tracking, you know, criminals, but it's about accountability. Okay? It's about accountability. When money moves digitally, it is harder to skim off the top. It's very hard to skim off the top. Harder to hide bribes. You know, you cannot be able to hide bribes because the records are there. Harder to operate in the shadows. Eh? Or, you know, that's why it's easy to, you know, to have brown envelopes with cash underneath the table, you know. As I said, cash is anonymous. So, but digital, you become more accountable. Okay? And that's a really, really, really good something. Something I'm looking forward to. And it's become revolutionary. There are countries already doing that. But there's always a but. Let's ask some question about this system. Okay? All right. We're excited. We think it's a great thing. But in my mind, there are some questions as well. Okay? That I need answer to. Okay? Or maybe that I'm throwing to you for you to think about. Right? To questions. You could be working in the bank. So you could be asking this question for us, you know, to those, you know, in the boardrooms. So we may not get them, you know, sometime we try. So you are working there. You know, you ask this question for us. Now, the other things about the system, the question probably about the system. One is who building this system. So who is building this system? The National Payment Corporation of India Internationals is developing it. Okay? According to the news, the National Payment Corporation of India International is developing it. Namclear, you know, our authorized payment system operator, will partner with a special purpose vehicle for long-term operation. Okay? So those are the what? And now India's, payment system are impressive. They have brought hundreds of millions into the digital economy in their own country. But here's my concern. Now, are we building a capacity within Namibia? Are we building a capacity in Namibia? So, or are we becoming dependent on foreign expertise? This is always an issue. These are the questions that we need to ask. So yes, the system, who is going to manage it? Who is managing the system? Are we managing this ourselves or someone else is managing it? Are we building the capacity within Namibia? Are we becoming dependent, as always, on foreign expert? Now, let's say when something is broken, and remember how these people are clever. You know, they make sure that, you know, you depend on them. If something is broken, can we fix it ourselves? Can we fix it ourselves? When we need to innovate, for example, do we have the skill locally? Or will we, you know, forever be, you know, calling technicians from Mumbai or New Delhi, you know? And that's a lot of money that we'll be paying. When you hear all these consultants say that we're paying in millions, it's because we don't have local expertise. We're always, you know, depending on foreign expertise. That's a very, 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 you know, this is some of questions that need to be, you know, answered. What about data security and privacy? That's a big, big concern, security concern, and a privacy concern. So you're most welcome to come through. Do come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So, yeah. And then what about the data security and privacy? So every transaction generate data. Okay? Who controls that data? Who has access? How is it protected? Yeah. Those are the questions. So those are, you know, you don't just hear this and the reasons why you do this, you know, it's for, remember, conscious awareness. We're creating that consciousness. Okay. You must always be always curious. So in an age where, you know, data is more valuable than oil. No, seriously, data is more valuable than oil. We need, you know, ironclad, as they said, ironclad guarantees about privacy, security, and sovereignty. So we have seen data breaches around the world, not even around the world, in Namibia as well. That happened. We have seen breaches, yeah. So now we have seen government actually misuse transactions, data for surveillance in some countries. So we need safeguard. Okay? So we need safeguard in terms of our data security and privacy. And the other thing is where we are as a country, you know, what about the digital divide? We're talking about, you know, digital system. So what about our digital divide? Yes, the system will work on non-smartphones, you know, on these cargo, the cartouches and, you know, but you still need a phone. One of the things, you still need a phone. You still need a basic digital literacy. Okay? You still need basic digital literacy. If you are planning for these are things that, you know, maybe we still need to discuss, to have a conversation here as well. You're most welcome to talk to me. You still need network coverage. So you still need to actually, there are still areas where there's those rural areas where connectivity is spotty, you know. Somebody was, during holiday, someone was calling. So I'm at spotty. What is spotty? You know, in the rural, we have a spot area where we get connected. So they call it spotty, you know. So you still are connected. You still need connectivity, the areas where connectivity is spotty, you know. Eh? Where electricity also, think of us also, electricity is unreliable and it has become common now. Where literacy levels are low. So these are also, how do we ensure people aren't left behind by these new revolutions, digital revolutions? We love it, but how do we measure, how we make sure that nobody's left behind? I'm this curious, cautiously, okay, let me put it that way. I'm cautiously optimistic about this instant payment system. Cautiously. With all what I have asked. It has the potential to be genuinely transformative. It has that potential. But only if we address some of those questions head on. Some of these questions we're asking. If we address them head on, the potential is massive. And it is transformative. That's the big one. It's transformative. All right. So someone is knocking. Let's hear what you have to say.
A very good morning.
Lost that one. Please do come back. Do come back. Come back. Come back. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, those are really, really, really good initiatives. And as I said, this is something you probably, you know, you read it and you never pay attention to it. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Big Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
No, we thank God for the new year too.
So how are you today? You good? You okay today?
Yeah, no. It's a new day.
Yeah.
It's a new revival still. I think we must just begin at that level.
Yeah.
I know people are still on holiday, although we are cultivating now.
My earlier question when I started, I said, anyone who comes, I want to hear what are you hoping for? For Namibia this year.
Yes. I jotted down that question.
Oh, okay.
It's very, 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 very impressive and very broad enough.
Yeah.
To accommodate all our plan, our aspiration, and our desire.
Yeah.
So it is up to us to tap in that vision.
Yeah.
So, but many a times we fail the vision, the plan, the good intention that are there.
Mm.
We do normally fail them because We may also get into the victimization kind of tendency that David Shondo was telling us yesterday.
Yeah.
So when we become so much victim, then of course we are vulnerable to the economic shock.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to hear that, yes, the economic growth prospect is 3.something%.
Yeah.
It is for us now to grow it further than that. So, but then, like you mentioned about the restructuring of the financial institutions and all these other things, I think it is one of the activities, one of the declarations that came out from G20.
Yeah.
And everybody, the whole world, have understood and have agreed, except the U.S. who did not attend, but the rest have all agreed, but there is no other unilateral decision that will be taken, you know. He's taking them, of course. We understand the state of America is taking those kind of unilateral decision and things like that. We understand that we cannot accuse or blame God.
Yeah.
For them to take, even they want to take the Greenland by force and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this kind of leadership, this leadership, that global leadership that we are seeing and witnessing and things like that, it is you and me who should become more patriotic.
Yeah.
To own identity. You know already the reason why we are in this situation is because, I think it was you who mentioned about 1904.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Mm.
Look at the periods.
Mm.
To this period that we just got independence. There's, I'm not saying that, yes, 30 or whatever many years ago. So, but we need just to make sure that those debt restriction and all these things should be reformed. And the UN Council and everybody is crying. And I don't even see the peace-loving people in Namibia even. There's no solidarity and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just because, of course, for us, we are neutral, you understand? And we have a lot to offer to the world in terms of United Nations, whether UN Security Council. So we have actually made the voice long before many, many other countries started to demand for the reform of this UN.
Yeah.
Even when the UN now recognized SWAPO as the sole representative of the Namibian people, and they have adopted the universal principles, those values, those norms, you know. But now we see that they disregard those international law.
Yeah.
So now for us, what do we do? Can't we also now take an opportunity to leverage on our potential that you are talking about, the potential in terms of, let's forget about the natural resources, but the human capital, we also have it.
Mm.
The youth, the young ones, and the elder ones who are capable and eager to engage in those commercial activities. Mike,
yep.
I think what we can do, there are so many opportunities, and we see some of the potential sectors.
Yeah.
That can absorb a lot of unemployed people.
Yeah. The potential is there. It's how we maximize those potentials, how we, you know, we turn those into real changes that we need. Yeah.
Yeah, you are correct. But most of these things are given to us. I don't understand about the commercial institution and the restructuring of the debt books and their books and things like that. But I just feel that if we are to be given, and we are given, provided access to some of those financial facilities.
Yeah.
Especially us.
Yeah.
You and me, let's forget about the youth, because I know I've seen the number of youth who have taken over there. But those who are still dithering around not to have that opportunity taken.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for coming through.
God bless.
All right.
0833-66091, 0833-66091. So basically, today we're looking at I was distracted by something quickly. Now we're looking at don't worry, I'm coming. I'm still here. Now, just a bit of a distraction. So we're looking at key economic factors and development that you need to watch for in Namibia in 2026, according to the Bank of Namibia. So we look at the rail bonds. We're not going to go into that. We looked at the instant payment system. We looked at, so the other things that we, where am I, you know, something is, you know, so as I said, we look at the instant payment system, which is actually a revolution, something that I said, I would love to see that. It's overdue, actually. It's something that is overdue, I think. And there has been also the economic growth. You know, for now we have covered saving and spending, and now let's zoom out to the bigger economic picture now. All right. So the news is that our economy is expected to grow, all right, by about 3.8 this year. And that's actually a good news. That's a good news. Excuse me. That's a good news. And it's an improvement on the last year. And it's expected to come, you know, to come now. The thing here now, it's expected to come from improved agriculture. As rainfall condition improves, that's as the report says, sustained construction activities and electricity generations and strong uranium output. So this growth that we're expecting this year, it's expected, you know, to come from those sectors. Improved agriculture as now understand that the rainfall condition has improved, and also from sustained construction activities, from electricity, you know, generations, and strong uranium output. So, but let's look at each one of that. How does this, okay? How would this actually improve, you know, our economic growth, you know? How would that improve? And I'm not gonna go into details of economic, you know, know-how or something. But yes, good rain. Let's start with agriculture, for example. So yes, good rains mean good harvest. All right. But let's not forget that the agriculture in Namibia is incredibly, incredibly vulnerable. Incredibly vulnerable. Climate change is making rainfall unpredictable. We know that. One good season, it doesn't raise years of drought. It doesn't. Eh? And who benefit from agricultural growth? We're going to look at that. So we're going to look at after this commercial quickly.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba una ovyu nevya peke kwa ugondola mirongo vitatu no hambu umwe umwezi koo kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Konyede mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owie kuhaka enina, itako na wina rishangitha, jina. afternoon.
All right. Good morning and welcome back. So we're looking at that. We're looking at the economic growth. The economy will grow. We will see a growth by about 3.8 this year, and that will be this improvement. It's an improvement from last year, but this is expected now to come from various sectors like an improved agriculture, So based now on the assumptions, as a rainfall condition actually improve. So, sustained construction, activity. So sustained, if, you know, the assumption that there will be sustained construction activities and electricity generations and strong uranium output. So now we're looking at, I want us just to go through each one of those just to highlight a few things maybe that we should be concerned about, or maybe just looking at some of the things. As I said, of course, good rain, good, give us good harvest. So, but in Namibia, our rainfall is unpredictable, and it doesn't mean one good season. As I said earlier, it doesn't erase years of drought that we have experienced. And when we're talking about an improved agriculture, for example, who benefit from agricultural growth? Largely commercial farmers, and whether we like it, many of whom are still white owned. You know, they are still widely owned. They are still white owned, and a legacy of our colonial and apartheid, you know, past. So, and that also comes to, you know, we also bring us to that point of land reform, which actually land reform remains a contentious and incomplete, still remain contentious and incomplete. We still have a land bill not being passed in the parliament. So a small scale communal farmers seeing growth? Are they seeing growth? Well, if you are a farmer, you're most welcome to come through and really talk to us. Are emerging farmers getting support? So, or is growth, is growth concentrated in hands that were, you know, already full? You know, tampambula peke pene. Is it concentrated in the hands of those who are already full? So, yeah, looking at, you know, this is assumptions, you know, and there are issues that maybe we should also paying attention in terms of there are also construction, you know, sustained construction activities. You know, sustained construction is good. Normally it's good for jobs. No question about that. So, but we need to ask, what are we building? And for whom? Now you're asking, well, what do you mean, what are we building? Are we building affordable housing for the majority of people in the country? Are we seeing that? Or are we building shopping malls and office park? And normally that serves a tiny elite. You know, is construction creating sustainable livelihood? You know, or are we relying on migrant labor? Those are other things. Are we relying on migrant labor while our own youth remain unemployed? So there are so many questions, you know, in terms of things. They also talk about electricity, you know, generation. This would, our growth would improve, expected from the one of these areas, electricity generations, which is very critical. For years, we have struggled with power shortages, you know, load sheddings, and dependence on imports from South Africa and mostly from South Africa and Zambia. So increased generation is essential for our industrialization, if we want really to industrialize. So it's also very important for attracting investment. You know, it's very important for attracting investment. and even just without going far, just for basic quality of life. It's very, 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 very important. But again, let's dig deeper. Let's dig deeper. So what kind of generations we're talking about? Are we investing in renewables? Solar, wind, you know, taking advantage of Namibia's incredible sunshine and coastal winds, you know? Are we? Do we have investment? So are we investing in renewables? Or are we locking ourselves into, you know, a fossil fuel and coal, you know? So in 2026, with the world racing toward net zero emission, with climate change already devastating communities, when we have seen that in Namibia. So energy choices are moral choices. So are really moral choices for us. And they also talked about uranium, a stronger output from uranium is a, I look at it this way. It's a double-edged sword, you know? Yes, uranium export from foreign, bring in foreign exchange. It bring in foreign exchange. They also employ thousands of people. They contribute to our GDP. So, but uranium mining is extractive. It depletes natural resources. It depletes natural resources. It carries environmental and health risk. So and the wealth generated often flows out of Namibia to foreign shareholders. So are we capturing now? The questions are we capturing local value locally? No, we are not. Yeah? We are not. Are we processing uranium domestically? No, we are not. Creating higher value product here? No. Or are we just digging it up and shipping it out? And we stay trapped in a colonial economic model, if you like. So we're staying trapped in a colonial economic model of exporting raw materials. We still, And that, my friends, has to change. Economic growth is not someone like, you remember when I talking to Herbert Jach. So when he talked about economic growth is not automatically good. It's not automatically good. So growth can be unequal. Growth can be unsustainable. Growth can be exploitative. So last time when I talked to you, that's what something he mentioned. So what we should care about isn't just growth, but inclusive growth. Growth that create job for our youth. That create job for what Uncle Bono was saying, for people, you know, for people like you and me. That's what he said. That lift people out of poverty. That respect our environment, you know. That's what he said. It can be exploitative. So that protect our environment and that build a diversified and a resilient economy. That's what we should be, you know, think about. That's what we should care about. Not just growth. Okay? So, now, the last thing, and finally, our banks are about to change the very way they calculate interest on our loans. All right? So, over a decade, over years, many years, they have used a system called the Windhoek Interbank Agreed Rate, or WIBA, whatever the case may be. So WIBA as their main benchmark. Okay. Now think of it as in a simple term, think of it as the mother rate from which the interest of your home loan, your car loan, your business loan is calculated. So it's kind of like your mother rate. Okay. So the Bank of Namibia has decided this system is no longer fit for purpose and is replacing it. Now, the problem is, what is the problem? Now, the problem is the Bank of Namibia hasn't announced what the new rate will be. And let me tell you why this is actually an issue or why this is a matter. So first is, it's actually transparency. Okay? Now, get me right. Changing the fundamental benchmark for lending without telling the public what it will be, well, it's like changing the rules of a game mid-play while you are playing without explaining the new rules. You know, that's transparency. We deserve to know how lending costs will be calculated. We deserve to understand the methodology. We deserve time to prepare, you know. So we deserve to know that. I think that's an issue there. The second thing, why this matter, I think, it's the impact on debt. You know, so thousands of Namibians are servicing. You probably have loans right now. You probably have loan right now. Mortgages, car loans, businesses, you know, business credit. You know, if the new rate increases borrowing cost, okay, people could struggle. People could struggle to meet payments. Yeah? Default could rise. People might not be able to pay. Then default could rise, repossession could also increase. So that's why it's very, very important. It would have an impact on people's debt. Mm-hmm. And conversely, if the new rate, the other way on the other side, on the positive side is also that. If the new rate lower cost, it's also a breathing room for families and businesses as well. So, but we are in the dark. That's the issue. So we are in the dark. And the other thing, probably the third point is that it's also the broader, you know, economic implications. You know, interest rates affect everything. It affects everything. The influences whether business invest or hold back, it does influences that. They determine whether people buy homes or keep renting, you know. They shape saving, your saving behaviors. It's determined by interest rate, you know. Your consumption pattern is determined by interest rates. And globally, there has been a shift away from the interbank rate like LIBOR, you know, the LIBOR. Now, this London interbank offered rate. Now, because they were found to be vulnerable to manipulation and didn't reflect actually market conditions. So if Namibia is moving away from WIBAR or whatever they call it, so for similar reasons, you know, that is actually responsible. I think that's really responsible. So, but the transition needs to be managed carefully. It needs to be managed carefully, communicated clearly, and instructed fairly. Okay? So I think that's all what we're looking at. So right now, we have questions, no answers, and that is actually concerning. So right now, that's all what, you know, what's going on. So now, so just probably to bring all things together that we talked about today, the bigger picture, Namibia in 2026, you know, what is 2026 shaping up to be for Namibia? Of course, on paper, these are all on paper. You know, on paper, it looks promising. It looks promising. Economic growth, new financial products, as we have seen, as we discussed, digital payment systems, and reform to lending. So we see that there's new reform to lending. But one thing I have learned, if I have learned anything in years of covering this country, you know, is that policy announcement and lived reality are often worlds apart. Those are often worlds apart. So one thing I have learned in this country. So policy announcements, you know, far, far, far from lived reality, you know. So we need to see. So I think what I really want, we're going to look at, okay, now what I want you to take away from today's conversation, are we going to talk about that after these commercials?
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo, Tisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, Orangika, Saitanina, Omeaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo, Ikelefem Media House, Way 22 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oani aji. Ikel FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, all right. Our time is about 49 minutes past the hour of nine. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, you are on Unpacking the Day, Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So welcome, and we still have 10 minutes to before we actually, you know, say goodbye to today's episode of Unpacking the Day. So you still have a time to actually to come through. All right. So now, what I want you really to take away from today's conversation, one, it's financial inclusion is. It's really meaningless if people don't have the income. You understand? I gave an example that, you know, people may ask for electricity in the rural area. We need electricity. And, you know, if electricity is expensive, you know, they can't afford it. It's meaningless to have it. You know, if it's available and it cannot be accessed, it's meaningless. So, the financial inclusion is exactly the same. It's meaningless if people don't have the income, don't have the education or the know-how how to use it. or support to participate. So that's very crucial. So retail bonds and instant payments, these are tools. You know, they are tools, but tools are only useful if you know how to use them and you have a reason to use them. So you understand? And you actually have access to use them. Eh? So that's the most important thing. That's probably the message I want, you know, that's a challenge that we need to look at, that would this be useful? You know, have we teach how people to use them? Are we people literate enough to use this? You know, this is to help us now to plan how we counter some of these challenges. Now, secondly, the economic growth is not the same as development. There was an article I wrote at one point this last year, you know, economic growth versus economic development. Now, we can grow GDP while inequality widens. We see that in Namibia. Our economic growth, we grow GDP, but we still have unequal society in the world. Inequality widens while the environment degrades. You understand? If you don't have policies that actually protect your environment, you know, people come and extract things and, you know, leave the poisons in the air, your environment degrades, but you're recording, you know, higher growth, higher GDP growth. Yeah? And also while ordinary Namibians struggle, what matters, my fellow Namibians, what matters is inclusive. Inclusive, sustainable, and equitable growth. That's what we need to look at. So wherever you find yourself, when we're talking about growth, that's what you need to assess. Is it inclusive? Is it sustainable? Is it equitable? Those should be our, you know, criteria of assessment, of assessing any growth that we're talking about. And the other things then, third thing probably is transparency and accountability. Those are non-negotiable. We have to come to a point where we don't live in the dark. We don't want to live in the dark anymore. When banks change lending rules without explanations, when inflation projection ignore lived experience, when policies are designed in a boardroom somewhere in Windhoek without input from communities, then we have a problem. Then we have a problem. So transparency and accountability. And then we don't see it. This is not only about in finance, but we see it in so also other areas, you know, where people are dissatisfied and started to shooting other people, you know. Transparency, accountability, eh? That should be two words right on top of our tips, of our tongue tips, tip tongues, whatever, you know. On the tip of our tongues, that's what I want to say. Transparency and accountability. Yeah. So Namibia's number four is that Namibia's economic future is tied to forces beyond our control. All right. So, and this is very important when we talk about, you know, earlier on, we're talking about strong exchange rate and we're talking about exchange rate and oil prices and things like that. Earlier on, as that would be where our improvement would come if we, you know, are making another assumptions. Now, what I want to say is that Namibia's economic future is tied to forces beyond our control, like South African monetary policy, global oil prices, climate change, you know, foreign technology providers, like we talk about, who will do the instant payment system. You know, it depends on foreign technology providers. So, but that it doesn't mean we are powerless, all right? So it means we need smart policies. It means we need strong institutions and active citizenship. Eh? You, that's the whole idea here. Eh? Strong, active citizenship. We should have our eyes open, guys. Eh? Wherever you are. So I nearly said, don't take, you know, the B words anymore. Hmm? If we really want to get somewhere in life, if we really want to take our country somewhere, that's what we need. It means we need smart policy. We need smart policy. People who knows what they mean, what they want. Yeah? We need strong institutions. When we talk about ACC, you know, Anti-Corruption Commission, we talk about, you know, when we talk all the institutions that, you know, governance institutions, we need strong governance institution. And of course, you, active citizenship. So every economic change, where anywhere in the world has a winner and a loser. Has a winner and a loser. We need to ask who benefits, who pays. Is the distribution fair? Or maybe our rural, you know, communities have been, you know, closed off, you know, Now, as we move through 2026, these initiatives will unfold. We will see them unfold. Some will succeed, of course. Well, some will fall short. Some will have unintended consequences. So our job, you know, our job really, yours and mine, is to stay informed. That's the most important things. Kanjongo said this is a year of reading. So stay informed, to ask questions, to hold leaders accountable, you know, and to ensure that economic policy serves people. Economic policy serves people, not just profit. Okay? Sometimes they seem just to serve profit rather than actually serving people. So, my dear people, these are bold and ambitious moves. They offer a real hope for a future where more Namibians can build wealth and participate fully in the economy. So it's really ambitious move. But they also bring challenges. That's also we have to acknowledge. And that's what, in this kind of discussion, that's what we're trying to bring. And that's what I invited you to come in also to, you know, to highlight. What challenges do you see? Do you foresee? So they require all of us to be more informed, you know, to be more vigilant and to ask critical questions about the risk and the real cost. So because if a minister mess up, he's not the only one that, if he really messed up, he's not just the only one who's going to suffer. The whole country is going to suffer. We may spend billions and billions something, and that's billions gone that were supposed to be, you know, that were supposed to be directed into education, into health sector, into whatever, into infrastructure. But it's gone because of, so that's what I'm saying. To ask critical question about the risk and the real costs. Ultimately, the success of these initiatives won't be measured in press release, you know, that we are looking at, or economic forecasts, you know, that we see. So it will be measured in the daily lives of the teacher, a teacher in Oshikoko. Okay? The taxi drivers in Katutura. It will be measured, you know, in the daily lives of the family planning their future. And that should be the driving, you know, the driving energy for us. Okay? It will be measured by whether these changes truly make life better for all Namibians. Well, let's bring us to the end. Let's bring us at 10 o'clock, exactly 10 o'clock, and bring us to the end of our unpacking the day. So let's do the same tomorrow. Let's book the same time, you know, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Let's start coming back. Let's also start, you know, participating, getting involved. I would love to hear, as it is always the case, I would like to hear your opinion, your perspective, your contributions. This is what is the program is all about. So let's bring us to the end, and please continue to listen to, you know, to, Eagle FM, for the programs that are coming up. Kuthamosha is just on the corner. It's coming with that France. Yeah. So if there are things that you want to, you know, probably suggest, or, you know, on the programs, if there are things, new ideas that you have that you would like to suggest, maybe that we, certain things maybe that we need to focus, you're most welcome to do that as well, for unpacking the day. You can always send, you know, your ideas to mike.haidula@eaglefm.com.na. So if any suggestions or any other, you know, good ideas that you would like to incorporate in the program this year, please do that. You can send it to my email, mike.haidula@eaglefm.com.na. So let's leave it at that. So until tomorrow. So let's see each other again tomorrow. So from me, Marco Chiavelli, I leave you in the hands of Tate France, coming with Kuthamosha. Goodbye.